Mrs. Dean, Reel 1.
Okay.
Can you tell me about your family background, Mrs. Dean?
Well, I was born near Hampstead in London. And I lived there for 6 months. My father died and my mother went and got a house in Essex. I rented a house in Essex because she had, there was no welfare state in them days. And we had four children to bring up for nothing. So she rented a house in Essex because my mother was an Essex-born woman. And she took in lodgers. That's to keep us, see? 14 shillings a week a lodger paid them days. And I went to school in Essex until I was old enough to come to London to get a job.
Were you the oldest child in the family?
Pardon?
Were you the oldest child in the family?
I was the youngest, 4 months old. My brother was the oldest, 5, and there was 4 of us to feed and clothe on nothing. Nobody give you anything in the day. They wanted my mother to go in the workhouse and take us with her, and she wouldn't. So she took in, rented this house and took in lodgers.
What sort of education did you have?
Only ordinary state. Couldn't afford anything else, of course. I don't know if there was anything else, I don't know. I went to a school in Essex, in Barkin, in Essex. After I was old enough, I left school at 13 because I had a good attendance. Otherwise, you had to leave at 14. I left at 13 and got a job. I went into service. And it was hard going them days. Well, then I was at Duke of Bedford's when the 1914 war broke out. And, of course, we had a lot of men servants. And they all got called up one by one. Made it hard for us, you see. Because those days it was coal fires. So scuttles of coal were left, filled up, put in the hall. And we had to do that when the men went. I got fed up, of course, and left. And I went to Woolwich Arsenal.
Can you tell me, before that, a little more about your domestic jobs? What sort of things you had to do?
Before I went to the Duke of Bedford's, I had a job at with Lady Renshaw at Portman Square, just behind Selfridge's, housemaid. Before that, I had a job at... in Connaught Place, just at the top of Esri Road, he was a diamond merchant. Very rich. I wasn't there long because I developed a nasty cold and I think they got frightened. I think they frightened I got fever or something. Sent me all the way home to Essex. So I had to give that job up. Before that, I worked at next to Harley Street, a doctor's house, as a street maid. Drinking rough, that was. Get up about 6 in the morning and crawl to bed at 10 if you're lucky. That was, you do, if you're a tree maid, you do half your work downstairs with the cook. And at 11 o'clock, you go up and do the bedrooms. The rest of the day, you're upstairs. That was my day. I stuck there for 6 months. That's before I went to Lady Renshaw's. Lady Renshaw's are very nice. She was a titled lady, but he was just a mister. And that was behind Selfridge's at Portman Square. We had 3 housemaids there. And a cook, I suppose. We had men servants, not only about two footmen, I think, there, something like that. Next door to us, they had powdered footmen. And if you have a powdered footman, you've got to pay a shilling tax. I don't know why. For the benefit of wearing having a powdered footman, I suppose. Shilling tax.
What was the point in having a powdered footman? What was the point?
I don't know. Well, that went in, I suppose, that went in all in the coffers with the rest of the money. You had to pay that tax because it's a privilege, I suppose, to have a powdered footman. And,
how much did you earn?
My wages were £10 a year. When I went to Duke of Bedford, it got a bit more, and I think I got about £15 a year. Of course, Duke of Bedford were very good. We had our food, and we was on what they called board wages, because he never kept a kitchen staff. So, we had what they called board wages, 14 shillings a week just for our food. And then he gave us 2 and 6 a week for laundry, 2 and 6 a week for beer money. It's very good, you compare it. And my wages there was £15 a year, I think, something like that.
Did you cook for yourself?
Yes. No. He employed a daily woman. She used to come in at 2 o'clock and cook our main meal, dinner, that sort of thing. We used to put our money together and have a main meal. And breakfasts and teas we got ourselves. But he employed that, and he also employed another daily woman to do the men's bedroom downstairs, because the men's bedroom was downstairs, and all the rough work. The two houses together at Duke of Bedford's. I done one front step, and one of the daily women done the other front step. Because they were the columns that side, you know. About 3 steps there. And because there was all the other work to do, I just scrub a hall, black and white marble hall floor, every morning with Brooks's soap. Brooks's soap is like a kind of vim, you know, and in a block. And I like to scrub it every morning. Great big hall. Then they had a front hall as well. Well, until I left there and went to Woolwich Arsenal. I don't know if I thought I was doing right or what I was doing wrong with blooming hard work, because I had to find myself somewhere to live, you see.
How did you feel when the war broke out?
Didn't worry me a bit. Didn't worry me. Mind you, we did have a Zeppelin come over Dick Bevers once, and we all congregated and went downstairs, frightened to death. But apart from that, it never worried me much, you know. But when I was at Woolwich Arsenal, we had barrels of gunpowder side of us. Like coal dust, that is.
How did the Duke of Bedford feel when you left him to go to the Woolwich Arsenal?
We never saw him. Never saw him. But I can tell you about Woolwich Arsenal. When I went to Woolwich Arsenal the morning, we all queued up, all those girls, to be examined. The lady doctor came in and we had to strip. Just keep your skirts on. And she came in and she said, drop skirts. And she medically examined us all to find out what department we were going to go in, because we had a lot of different departments. Funny enough, in danger buildings, it seems so funny, mostly we were sewing. And I was only glad they didn't put me in TNT. You know what TNT is? It's a very high explosive. And the girls work on a bench with a frame. And there's 2 holes to put your arms in. And they work under that frame because it's very high explosive. It's only like a white powder. And they used to fill little bags, like a blue bag, this white powder, under this frame because it flies all over the shop. And everything that powder touches goes yellow. All the girls' faces were yellow. All in their mouths. They had their own canteen, which was everything was yellow, what they touched. And I was thankful they didn't put me in that, because it didn't do you any good after a few months. And they put me into them, because, you see, we didn't walk on earth, we walked on platforms. Because, you see, if you work on earth, that might cause an explosion for the grit. Well, when we went in, we had special clothes. You had a big factory floor with a partition down the middle and what they call a clean and dirty. When you went in the morning, you took your coat and clothes off, put them in a kit bag, and that was called dirty. And then you went over that, what's the name in the middle, over to the clean. You put their overall on, which had a, what's the name on the back, your number and a WD on it, and a mob cap. You weren't supposed to wear any hairpins, any hooks and eyes, anything metal. You mustn't have on you. And special shoes with WD on. And we went into the concert clean. Well, then she took us down to these, where we were supposed to work. All these wooden platforms we had to walk on. Took us in this little factory shop. And it was all benches. little tiny scales on these benches, like sweet scales, like children use. We had to weigh stuff on those and fill up bags. And it was called Ballastite. It looked like Lux, and it was a brown. And we had to weigh this stuff, so many ounces, and put them in all these bags. And then we had to sew them up. We had copper scissors, copper needles, all copper, because you mustn't have any metal. I was old robust girls like that. Well, then up comes another girl, and she uses what they call cordite. Cordite's like macaroni in dark brown. It's hard, you know. And we made a sort of kind of a cake with that. That much high. Made a kind of a cake with that. Tied round with the sort of kind of string. In the middle of that, had a long macaroni stuff in the middle, high, stuck in the middle. There was a high bit there and a round bit there. And underneath that bottom part was like a quilted red stuff filled with gunpowder. Every little quilted part had so much gunpowder put in it. And that sent the... shell that went beyond the... behind the... gun. Well, we had bags to go right over that cake affair. Long thing in the middle, round the butt. Gunpowder bag had to be sewn up. And all the bags that we'd filled up was tied onto this middle lump. So about 5 bags on that, and that went behind the shell, like a charge, to push a shell out. Well, that was all packed away then. But I don't know what, I wrote a what's name out somewhere, I can't find it.
What sort of hours?
Diagram.
What hours did you work?
Pardon?
What hours did you work?
Oh, long hours. I think we went in about 7 o'clock in the morning. It was all rush and tear them days because we had to catch a train, and the train only gave about 5 minutes to get out and change your clothes and get into the train. I think we had to work at 7 o'clock at night as well. We were all in canteens there, you see. But we'd done night work about every 2 weeks. Week's night work. We'd allow the formers in the night and have a sleep. But, because where we were, there wasn't any guns or anything. That was a different department to us. Although we were called Danger Buildings, we had barrels of gunpowder, like coal dust did there. But the coal dust, I don't know what that was used for. Must have been some kind of explosive, mustn't it? Ballastite and cordite. They was all stitched around this middle thing. That was put into a container and labelled and sent away. That Kate, what's her name? But,
were you allowed to walk around the buildings and see the other departments?
Well, we did. That wasn't really allowed to, but we did. That's how I saw the girls working under the TNT. That was shocking. That made you ill after a while. We got in your system.
Did you ever talk to any of them about that?
No, not really. We didn't have time, I don't think, to talk.
You're telling me about the canteens.
Well, the canteens, the one, the TNT one, everything they touched went yellow, chairs, tables, everything. We had a separate canteen from them. We weren't allowed to go in their canteen. But there was boiling water always there to make your tea if you wanted it. And we used to take our dinners and put them in to hot up, you know. And, of course, tea, you just added bread and butter and cake, whatever it was, you know.
Did you bring the food in with you? Did you bring the food in with you?
No. I cottoned on to one of the girls there, and I went to live at her house, her family, because I suppose their husbands and sons had gone in the war, and they had plenty of room. And I went to live with those, you know. The time being, but that was Peckham, and I had a long way to go. When I first went there at Woolwich Arsenal, used to get on the ferry boat to Woolwich, or either that, or you walked under the tunnel, It was a terrific walk. But one night there was a terrible explosion. We thought the arson had gone up, but it wasn't. It was another factory somewhere around, you know. And when we got out in the street, there was no windows in anyone's houses, no windows in the trams or nothing. Blew them all out. So,
did they keep you working that day?
Oh yes, it was at night. I was just going home about 7 o'clock. We thought it was the arson had gone up. Oh no.
Were there ever any accidents where you worked?
Don't think so, not at all. It was all covered up with mob caps, and I said, weren't allowed to have any hair, anything in their hair, all loose, you know. No, nothing in his shoes to keep them on.
Were you allowed to wear jewellery at all? Hmm? Jewellery?
No, nothing metal. No hooks and eyes, no, nothing metal, no buttons. Even linen buttons got a metal ring. Mustn't wear them. No suspenders or anything like that.
Did they inspect you to see you didn't have anything?
Oh, they would do, yes. Yeah, of course. See if you wasn't keeping to the regulations. But it was a vast place, really, you know. Walking on these wooden platforms, you see, if you walk on the earth, it might spark off something or other, cause an explosion. The sewing boot used to tickle me because it seemed so funny to be sewn on danger buildings, you know. You wouldn't think that, would you, really?
Were you able to sit down while you worked?
Oh, we had stools, so the bench. Yes.
Who was in charge of you?
Oh, they had an overlooker. I don't know, I think about 40 in a shop, I think, something like that. And you see, they used to check your out, how much you earned, how much work you'd done, and that all the shops were put together, and that made you get a bit of a bonus at the end of the week, sort of thing.
Were you paid on piecework?
No, it was shop. You're paid by the shop, and that was your ordinary wages. But if you'd done extra, you got a little bit on top bonus.
How much did you earn on average?
Oh, don't ask me, not much. People think, well, you just ask me, you didn't earn a lot. You didn't earn a lot, not considering. The time you paid your fare and paid your lodgings, and then not much left.
Was the overlooker a man or a woman?
Woman.
What was she like?
All right. Then when they, of course, they watch you, make sure you worked, done your work, you know. Because that was all put down on the end of the day, I suppose, or the end of the week. Because I was only about 18 then. I was there 2 years, end of the war.
How old were the other girls in the shop?
I don't know, about the same age as me, I suppose. Might have been a bit older.
Could you describe what you had to wear?
What we were allowed to wear?
Yes.
Well, we wore our ordinary clothes, but you had to wear their overall.
Did anybody wear trousers?
No. Trousers wasn't in them days. Not when I worked. Girls never wore trousers. So what we did wear, putties, get your legs warm.
What was the workplace like in terms of heat?
I don't know if there was any heat there or not. I can't remember. I suppose so. I suppose it was hot pipes, I suppose, all over the place. That's all. Being we was allowed so much boiling water to make tea and stuff, I suppose they had boiling hot pipes.
Was it noisy?
Well, I suppose it was to an extent. Not that much. Everybody talking in one thing or another, you know. And all of a sudden there'd be a warning. We got warnings, you know, now and again. Of course, that was about a half hour's walk from Plumstead, the main... had to walk that, all weathers.
What happened when you had a warning?
Well, I don't remember going anywhere. Probably dived under the tables or something. That would help us much. We had Bowers of Gunpowder, as I said, side of us. Wouldn't be much chance of anything hit us, would we? Not really.
Did bombs or guns fire at you from the planes?
Hmm?
Did the guns fire at the building from the planes?
Oh, wasn't many planes about them days. Zeppelins.
You saw the Zeppelins?
Zeppelins, oh yeah, we've seen them.
How did people react when they saw a Zeppelin coming over?
Oh, we all got a bit scared, of course. You know, wondering what's happening. Because there's all those things in the air, like balloons sort of thing, you know. I don't know what they was for. I don't know. So.
Did you ever evacuate the building?
Don't think so. But those buildings was all like an additional. They weren't the old Woolwich Arsenal. They were all additional, made for short, like a factory sort of thing.
How well did the girls get on with each other?
Huh?
How well did the girls get on with each other?
Well, I think all right. We never had time anything else. You never had time much to speak. It was the overlooker to see to that. Mustn't waste her time talking.
How strict was she?
Oh, well, they're all very strict. And they used to come in and say, you must do so many, you must do so many today, you must do so many today, you know. Because they were waiting for that at the front. Soldiers were waiting for our stuff. It was all packed in canisters and labelled and set out.
Did you have any men working alongside you?
No. I think it was mostly women. I don't think there was any men at all in our department. Don't remember, don't think so. Only like anyone was doing any jobs or anything like that. But not ordinary work. No, we done that.
What was there a restroom or anywhere you could go to if you didn't feel well?
Yes, I think there was a restroom. A place if you wasn't well, a place where you could lay down sort of thing.
And was there a nurse? A nurse?
I suppose there was. I never saw one. I suppose there was a nurse, that first aid. Bound to be.
How many days a week did you work? How many days a week?
Well, a whole week. I didn't go Saturday mornings, of course. Then a whole week. There was a real scarper when we came out at night. Everybody running and get the train. You're lucky they got in it. And in about 5 minutes, they're changing you out, ordinary clothes and get out.
Was it a special train?
I think, yeah, because they made... You see, the train from Plumstead, they made what they call another stop between the main, called Manaway Halt. That was a halt. We had to catch that. It wasn't far from Woolwich where we worked. It took us about 5 minutes to get on that. Manaway Halt, it's called. So...
You had to find lodgings. How difficult was that?
Well, sometimes you got someone that knew someone that wanted that could take you in. I was pretty lucky. I went to stay with one of these girls working there with her mother. And one place I stayed at, food wasn't much good. Give you a herring or something for your tea. Well, that was no good to me. I wanted a proper meal, you know.
So what did you do?
Well, left there and got somewhere else.
Was it expected that a young girl should be looking for lodgings on her own?
Hmm. Well, nobody thought that sort of thing years ago. Not really.
What about your social life? What did you do when you weren't at work?
We never had any time. It was work all the time. You never had Sundays sort of thing to yourself. And I remember this lady had a baby and I used to take her out in a pram. Just for exercise. Somewhere to go.
What about in the evenings? Did you go out in the evenings?
No. I don't think anyone went out much in the evening with them.
Didn't go to dances or the cinema?
In case of anything. Because that 1914 war was a lot different to what the wars were, the next war. People ran into shelters and all that sort of thing, nothing like that.
Did you hear much news about what was happening in France and elsewhere?
I don't think so. Unless, you see, men at the front weren't allowed to write any news what was going on. So we never really...
Did you read the newspapers?
Oh, yeah, newspapers, yes.
What happened at work if one of the girls had lost a boyfriend or a husband?
Well, of course they was upset. I don't know if they were allowed to time off or not. I don't know. I suspect they were. I'm trying to think about a ration. If it was rationed, then, of course, for food. That was a bit of a headache, really. Because if you was rationed for food, you had to give up some of your rations and wherever you're lodging. You didn't match yourself.
Were you adequately fed during the war years? Were you adequately fed?
Oh, yes, yes. When I was at Duke of Bedford, we were rationed with bread, butter, tea, all that sort of thing. We all had our own little containers. We'd have a bit of tea and a bit of bard in that. But we had to put our meat ration, about five or six of us together, and have one joint. That was cooked. The woman used to cook that for us. And I think potatoes was rationed as well. Couldn't get any much. So I didn't have a lot, really.
And what about when you were in lodgings? When you left the Duke of Bedford's and you went in lodgings?
Ah, when I left the Duke of Bedford's, yes. I had to find somewhere to live. It was a bit of a... I didn't know where you were going to get, what sort of people they were, nothing like that. I mean, if people wanted you in their house... You went to sleep and you didn't roam around the house. They don't expect you to roam around the house, did they?